we're so used to seeing things that, in my opinion, aren't quite right in our treatment of animals.
The less we eat, the less violence is being done, and the less destruction to the environment.
Everyone eats, and everyone has to make a moral decision every time that we sit down to the table.
Welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show, Western Canada's only radio program on animal advocacy and compassionate living. This is 100.5 FM Co-op Radio CFRO in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Today is Friday, July the 22nd, 2016. I am your host, Allison Cole, and I'm joined here today by our co-host, Caroline Carnery.
Hello out there.
Jen Dobell.
Hello.
And our guest co-host, Denise Swanson.
Happy Friday.
Happy birthday, Denise. It was Denise's birthday today or this week. So
well, thank you.
As you all might have noticed from the cupcakes that I brought.
Yay.
That Jenny.
Vegan cupcakes.
Yeah. I'm saving it.
Anyways, I've been away, and I was in Los Angeles for the Animal Rights National Conference earlier this month. I just got back this week since my sister and I took a vegan vacation afterwards in the city. Denise, you joined us for the first part at the conference, so thanks for coming today, Denise, as today is our annual review and highlights show all about the conference. If anyone is interested in listening to our past AR conference review shows, you can hear them at animalvoices.org, but today we will be sharing our impressions and experiences about this year's huge event, which attracted over 1,700 participants spanning a broad spectrum of the animal rights movement. After that, I'll be sharing my experiences at the very first Pig Save vigil that was held at the slaughterhouse in LA the day after the conference organized by Anita Crines and Toronto Pig Save. And we'll be playing a short interview that I did with Earthlings and Unity filmmaker Sean Monson, who was in attendance among many others. And to share some of the speaker highlights at this year's Animal Rights Conference, I'm excited to be able to present two audio clips of two of my favorite talks at the event. They are by philosopher Lisa Kemmerer and former Shack 7 member who is now the vice president of the Beagle Freedom Project, Kevin Jonas. These are both two really inspiring and well-done speeches, and I hope you will listen and enjoy them. So speaking of the Shack 7, Jan, you have something related to that to share.
The Shack 7 are six activists and a corporation, Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty USA Incorporated, that have been found guilty of multiple federal felonies for their alleged role in simply campaigning to close down the notorious animal testing lab, Huntington Life Sciences, based in the United Kingdom and the United States. Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty, Shack, was an international animal rights campaign to close down Huntington Life Sciences, Europe's largest contract animal testing laboratory. Shack ended its campaign in August 2014. HLS tests medical and non-medical substances on and around 75,000 animals a year, from rats to primates. It's been the subject of several major leaks or undercover investigations by activists and reporters since 1989. Shack was started in November 1999 by three British animal rights activists, Greg Avery, Heather James, and Natasha Delamain, after video footage was supposed to have been shot covertly inside HLS in 1997 by People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, showed HLS staff shaking, punching, and shouting at beagles in their care. The footage was broadcast by Channel 4 in the UK. The employees were dismissed and prosecuted, and HLS's license to perform animal experiments was revoked for 6 months. PETA stopped its protests against the company after HLS threatened it with legal action, and Shack took over as a leaderless resistance. Josh Harper is one of the Shack 7 activists, and he was jailed for 3 years. Josh wasn't actually charged for sending black faxes, but for simply speaking out about the tactic. He was also charged with conspiracy to violate the Animal Enterprise Protection Act, which has since developed into the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. Five other activists and the Shack campaign were charged alongside Josh. The term black fax refers to a prank fax transmission consisting of one or more pages entirely filled with a uniform black tone. The sender's intention is generally to use up as much as of the recipient's fax ink, toner, or thermal paper as possible, thus costing the recipient money and or denying the recipient use of their own machine. Since being released from prison in 2009, Josh has been keeping busy helping running the Talon Conspiracy Online Archives, an incredible historical treasure trove of animal and earth liberation-related publications. One of the things the animal rights movement often has a hard time with is remembering its own history. There's an author that wants to help change that by writing a biography of Josh Harper. John is the author of a completed biography of Ronnie Lee, founder of Animal Liberation Front, which is slated to be published in 2017. John plans on conducting hours and hours of interviews with Josh to tell his story and that of Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty. It's going to make for a great biography. Please support the project on fundraiser.com, and we have posted a link on animalvoices.org or Animal Voices Vancouver Facebook page.
Thanks for that, Jen. I just checked our Facebook, and I'm going to post that later today, so check for it there on our Facebook at Animal Voices Vancouver. So, I was in LA, and Caroline, you're peeing your pants to know all about it, right?
I am peeing my pants, and I'm green with envy. Both of those things are very true, and I'm dying to hear about the food.
Right, right. And Denise has traveled to LA with me before. When was that, like 2011, do you remember?
Yeah, I think so.
We ate our way through LA, remember?
Oh, yeah.
So,
totally jealous.
I was gone for 11 days, and let's just say that my sister and I ate our way through LA, so... A trip to Los Angeles wouldn't be complete, obviously, without devouring all the vegan food it has to offer, at least much of it. And it's been 2 years since I was there last with my sister, so there were actually quite a few new places to try and old favorites to check out again, because there's just so much going on in the LA vegan food scene. It's known to be one of the top three meccas in the United States when it comes to food. There's New York's number one, then LA and Portland, just in terms of how many different vegan food establishments there are. And my sister and I kind of make it a rule to only go to like all vegan places, because there's just so many. And we were just there after the conference for a week. So
are there new places this year?
There are new places. What would you like to know about? Well, there's new places that have just opened, like By Chloe, which is in a Whole Foods 365 store, which is kind of like an offshoot of the regular Whole Foods. And everyone knows By Chloe Coscarelli. She's quite well known. She's a wonderful cookbook author, and she won the Cupcake Wars with her vegan raspberry tiramisu cupcake, which was famous years ago. So from there, she went on to write cookbooks and open a restaurant in New York City that we went to last year, and we went to the By Chloe in Los Angeles, and they have like way more options now than they even did a year ago, so they're already growing. They have like a whole different summer menu plus their regular menu. Neither my sister and I were really hungry when we went there. I had this wonderful chocolate cacao smoothie, a pesto pasta, just a really small one, and then I had to get the raspberry tiramisu cupcake, the famous cupcake,
which sounds so decadent.
Well, you saw it, Denise. I sent you a picture.
I saw your sister eating it. Yes.
How are your clothes fitting this week?
Well, as you notice, I'm wearing a stretchy dress, so there's a reason for that. I did gain 9 pounds, so
easy to do.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's less than a pound a day, so I'm like kind of surprised.
So is this restaurant doing a great business? Like how?
Yeah, they are. It was pretty busy there, and they're also offering a weekend brunch now, which sadly we missed, and the person at the counter said it was really, really good, so it must be really, really good. Plus it's Chloe, right?
Yeah, and that's what we need more of in Vancouver, are brunch places.
Oh, absolutely. And this is sort of like a fast foodie place too. We don't have a lot of those in Vancouver. People kind of just want to go in and out. And then also they're going to be starting to bring out a whole array of house-made vegan ice creams. Which
your specialty.
Yeah, kind of. We have a vegan ice cream, a new ice cream store opening here in August in Vancouver, by the way. So anyway, so that was By Chloe. So Caroline, did you want to know about Little Pine?
I do. because you saw
is that
one
Moby's?
Of my favorite people. That's Moby's
oh,
restaurant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Moby, actually saw him twice. So he was at the conference. And then 2 days later, my sister and I went to his brand new restaurant, Little Pine, and he was there, too, having dinner. So
what kind of food is it?
Okay, so it's wonderful. It's sort of like Mediterranean-based, kind of like Crossroads, like small plates. Mediterranean, Italian-based dishes. You kind of like share plates together, and they're so good. Again, we weren't like super, super hungry, but I wanted to try as many dishes as possible. Like they all looked really good, and I needed some vegetables. So we got a plate of the broccolini with hazelnuts, avocado mousse, and red onion. Everything there tasted delicious. So it's like 10 times more delicious than what I'm even saying. Because it's hard to find a vegan ravioli, we had the vegetable ravioli there with the pesto and spring vegetables.
Oh my God.
Very yummy, very yummy. And then I wanted one more dish because I wasn't quite satiated enough. So we got what my sister wanted, the crispy smashed potatoes, which I thought they were going to be mashed potatoes, but they weren't. Do you know what smashed potatoes are, Denise? You're
not
a foodie.
Really?
They're just like potatoes. They're not really. Like, yeah. Jen, do you know?
I do.
Yeah.
I love those.
Okay. Okay. So well, they're.
What is smashed? Like what it compared to mashed?
I don't know. Maybe if someone kind of like just like squishes it a little bit with a fork or something.
They are really, a little mashy.
Yeah,
that's mashed. But they're potatoes,
they've got the
like a lazy mashed potato.
They're whole potatoes. They have the skin. They're crispy. So I don't know if they're baked or fried. But it was vacation time, so I didn't care. So that's kind of like when my no frying, especially deep frying rule, kind of goes out the window. And then I let myself eat as many desserts as I wanted, because remember that night at the conference, Denise, where we each ate like six desserts.
I do.
Yeah, including veggie grilled carrot cake, which is my favorite. So I had two pieces of that there.
Ice cream pies and cookies.
Everything. So speaking of desserts, at Moby's restaurant, we had the s'mores ganache for dessert, which is the second time in my life that I've had a vegan meringue using none other than, of course, aquafaba, right? Which is the whipped chickpeas. It was amazing. So it started with a graham crust with a square of like a chocolate ganache cake on top with pecans and a toasted meringue. And they toasted it. It was so fancy. I'm so not used to having that. Yeah, and they actually had a baked Alaska on the menu too, which I would have next time I go there. And I imagine too, like a baked Alaska is like use like a torch on it, right? Is that right?
I think we should just move there.
Or Moby, can you please start a restaurant here?
Exactly. Yeah. Next year I want to have a virtual experience where you just, you know, have a camera on your head and you go everywhere and you eat the food and I can see this, but I gain none of the calories. But yet I have the concept of the eating extravaganza that you just had.
That's why
there must be a way.
That's why I love looking at food porn pictures. That's what they give to people, right? So very quickly here, let's see, what else should I talk about? There's Veggie Grill, you know, I love that place. Real Food Daily. We always go there every year because that's where I saw Leonardo DiCaprio and Tobey Maguire once. They're having brunch there right next to me. And so I assume I will always see them there because I have seen Tobey Maguire there twice now. So he obviously goes there like all the time when I'm there, but he didn't this time. So we had the weekend brunch, or I had the weekend brunch plate there, which is as you were saying, Denise, we need brunch places, right? And
we do
lack them. So when I have a chance to go to one, I'm going to go. And it was a big plate of scrambled tofu with two pancakes and a very smoky and crispy tempeh bacon and some fruit to round it out. So
I'm
delicious.
I'm so hungry.
Well, there's a cupcake in the other room.
I know, you can have it after.
Go.
I can't wait.
Okay. And then just quickly to just cap it off, because we're almost out of time here. The day after the Saturday that we went for brunch at Real Food Daily, it was National Peach Day. I had received an email from Real Food Daily saying that the day after they were going to be featuring this amazing deep dish peach pie crumble with vanilla ice cream. But guess what? They had it that day too. So we had it and it was so, so good.
You're killing me.
It was so, so good. So, okay. So enough about food. I want to talk about some animal stuff here too. Although vegan food is very much about animal activism because, you know, we're putting plants into our mouths instead of dead animals. Right. And that speaks a lot for all the animals that we're saving. And some of these animals that were saved ended up in Farm Sanctuary in Acton, California, which is just a 45-minute drive north of Hollywood. That place holds a special place in my heart because I used to volunteer there years ago doing fundraising before when they were called Animal Acres, and then they were given over to Farm Sanctuary. And so it was really nice to be reunited there and to go back. And we took a tour. They have multiple tours during the weekends, which if anyone wants to go. And I found it to be super educational. So if you can picture this, a bunch of parents bringing their kids to see happy farmed animals or just happy animals, I guess. And I've seen this before at different farm sanctuaries where they go to entertain their kids, but then they're given all this education about factory farming practices. What do you think of that? Like, isn't that just like the best way to sort of like change people's hearts and minds, to get to give them information and then show them, like she was speaking to us about how all the horrible cruelties of the dairy industry, and then showing us some cows, you know, who are rescued from this industry.
It makes it real, doesn't it?
Yeah, really. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, and specifically for the parents, right? So because some of the kids, I would say, were too young, but it's planting seeds in their minds too, to give them that personal hands-on experience. I think, Caroline, you saw some pictures that my sister took online with, because every time I see a pig, I have to rub his belly or her belly.
I get that. You know how I feel about
pigs.
Well,
I know they love it, right? Everyone was like hesitant. One lady's like, okay, let's wait till we get instructions. I just went over and started rubbing his belly and he loved it. I know he's going to love it. So so that was my experience at Farm Sanctuary. And later on in the show, we're going to hear all about the conference. But first, we have an announcement for you.
Hey there, Co-op Radio listeners. Do you like food? Of course you do. Would you like to learn more about food? Why not? Well, then tune in every Monday at 8 p.m. for Food Line Radio, where we talk all about food, sourcing food, buying food, the politics of food, hey, even cooking food. Food, glorious food. Listen every Monday at 8 p.m. for Food Line Radio on Vancouver's Co-op Radio 100.5 FM.
Okay, we have some events for you. On Saturday, July 30th at 10 a.m. at the Greater Vancouver Zoo, which is located at 5048 264th Street, Aldergrove, there's a family-friendly get-together and protest called Creating a Conversation, Lego a Fallacy. Now, this is all in response to the zoo's event, which is a Lego sculpture competition, which is held inside the facility's fences and which is intended to further the zoo's agenda of holding animals in captivity with public support. The protest group wants to show how much fun it is not to exploit and neglect animals. So the group invites families and folks of all ages and from all communities to come out and enjoy food and refreshments along with activities and outreach. So the idea there is face painting, chalk art, bubble wands, that kind of stuff. And bring your own lawn chair. And tonight, get your dancing shoes on, because at Zen Conscious Lounge at 1030 Mainland Street, there is a sober dance party.
And vegan dance party.
Yeah, loads of vegans getting on their groove.
And next Sunday, July 31st, there is a rather unique opportunity to hear Dr. David Steele, award-winning molecular biologist and president of Earth Save Canada, a charity that advocates the move towards a more whole food plant-based diet for environmental sustainability, better health, and compassion toward animals. The talk is entitled Eating Matters, Making a Difference in the World. One of the most powerful ways we can influence the world for good or ill is by choosing what we put in our mouths. From the lives of farm animals, to the degradation of the environment, to ensuring the poor among us are able to feed themselves, our food choices have enormous repercussions. This talk will comprise the sermon at the Unitarian Church of Vancouver, 949 West 49th Avenue at Oak Street, Sunday, July 31st at 11 a.m. You can go on your own or sign up through Vancouver Meatless Meetup. Please note that Dr. David Steele is currently available to work within a nonprofit organization in his areas of expertise. including exceptional analytic and scientific research skills, with extensive experience in writing successful grant applications, as well as teaching, leading workshops, public speaking, and media interviews. Dr. David Steele can be reached at dsteele@earthsave.ca, and that's Steele with an extra E on the end. In other events, there is a book event coming up. Dr. Alex Lockwood, who is a writer, educator, and activist working in the fields of literature, creative writing, media, and the environment. In his new book, The Pig in Thin Air, he explores different modes of activism throughout North America, asking how animal advocacy and environmental activism can best join forces to tackle interconnected crises in such a way that we might develop deeper, more authentic, compassionate relationships with all other animals, including ourselves. That event will be this Monday, July 25th, 6:30 to 8:30, a public book signing hosted by Dr. Alex Lockwood at Spartacus Books, 3378 Findlay Street near 18th and Commercial. Again, the book's name is The Pig in Thin Air.
And we're going to have him on the show too one day in the future. I met him a couple weeks ago at the AR conference and would love to have him here.
I can't wait to read it.
Great.
If you have an animal-friendly event that you would like to have announced on the show, please send us an email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com or post it on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver.
Well, thank you so much for the events, Caroline and Denise. So the National Animal Rights Conference happened earlier this month from July the 7th to 10th in Los Angeles, California. It's put on by the Farm Animal Rights Movement, and it's an annual event that happens every summer and alternates between LA and Washington, D.C. every year. I've made a commitment to attend the conference every year now, and this year's event was my eighth one. It was Denise's third conference, who is here to share her thoughts on it as well. So I personally am very supportive of this conference. I really appreciate all the hard work and organization that goes into creating this huge and very detailed event. Caroline, you weren't able to make it this year, but I know I sent remember I sent you the program of the PDF of what was happening, because I thought when I saw that, Caroline would really appreciate that too, and so would Jen as well. So hopefully you two can make it next year, because I just think there's just so much going on there that's relevant, and I really just appreciate that. It's a place where everyone can gather together and to network and learn from each other about the movement. It's also a great place to recharge your batteries and make so many connections with people and learn about the issues that are being addressed today in the animal rights world. So this year, there was a record-breaking, once again, 1,700-plus people who attended this year. That's more than last year. Many people were first-time attendees, which is amazing because I really think this is indicative of a growing movement in animal rights, which is just like really inspiring to me. And the Animal Rights Conference, it featured, like I said, over 100 speakers from dozens of organizations across the world representing different experiences and paths to animal liberation. So we spoke on the show last month in our interview with program organizer Michael Weberman about how FARM serves as a conduit to allow a large spectrum of the animal rights movement to be represented at the event, from those who believe in taking incremental steps to decrease animal exploitation to full-on abolitionists who see total liberation as being the only option. What do you two think of this, as this being like a place to serve for that?
Yeah, well, they need to be able to be inclusive. And the fact is that more animals are saved from a life and death of suffering by meat reducers than by vegans, because there are more of them. So we really need to focus on everyone and not leave anyone out.
Yeah, for sure. So this year's program format differed somewhat, as I've spoken about before, in that the sessions were longer and that fewer tracks, presentations were strategically offered during the same times, which meant to me that you didn't get to miss as many options as in past conference formats. I know, Caroline, you were looking at the program and you were saying, I want to see them all.
Yes. And you know, When I was looking the other day at the program, it said that you could order these online. And I thought, I am going to
the audio clips.
Hear them all. But then when I went online today, I couldn't find that.
I think they're available now. I got an email about it yesterday, so I'll pass that on to you. So you can also, for our listeners, go to arconference.org and you can order audio clips of, I believe, all of the sessions.
Okay, yeah. So in fact, I will be able to hear it all.
Yeah, yeah.
But what were some of the new topics that you were excited to see and attend this year, Allison? Or Denise, as the case might be.
There were so many speakers. Like, I can't even wrap my head around how many. I went to my favorites, my old favorites. Allison, what did you think of in terms of new speakers that you liked?
I'm just looking here over the program because I didn't prepare this part, so that's why I pointed to you. No. Let's see here. I went to The Power of Assertive Actions. So getting attention and changing behavior through economic and social pressure. And definitely some new speakers there who I hadn't heard before, also including our Canadian Toronto Pig Saves, Anita Krines. So that was, I mean, there was such a variety of different things. So whether you're an activist and you want to learn tactics, as I think people like Denise and I might want to, but also if you're, I always say, like, this conference is great for brand new people as well, because they all always offer a track of just like informational sessions. So if you don't know what factory farming is about, you can attend a session to learn about issues in farming, agriculture, like animal welfare issues and issues for creatures in the sea and issues for wild animals. And I really appreciate that. There was, again, I attended the spirituality of veganism, which is something that I want to feature later on the show this year, because it's not something we've ever covered before. So when I was thinking of what sessions I wanted to attend, because I have attended a lot of them before, I was going for the new ones. Sustainable activism was presented by Beyond Carnism's Melanie Joy. I don't believe she's done that talk before. She spoke about sustaining our activism in the face of horrors of animal abuse and the amount of work ahead. And Power of Online Advocacy. I've seen that before, but there were different speakers this time. That one included Jane Unchained, Jane Velez Mitchell, who I really enjoy. And she's so entertaining and such a powerful speaker. So I really appreciated that. And yeah, lots of new speakers that I hadn't heard before. Colleen Patrick Goudreau spoke about the 10 Habits of Highly Effective Advocates. I think I may have, there was one talk that I actually did a live Facebook feed on our Facebook page, if people saw it. I think you saw that one, Caroline, and that was with Melanie Joy and Colleen Patrick Goudreau, and they were speaking, they were just doing a Q&A. They were just answering random questions. Yeah. Denise, you were
at
that one
too. That was really good. Yeah. They really played off of each other well, and it was, you know, there's a lot of heavy topics that go on at the conference, and just it was quite.
They basically know all, right? They know all, but they have great, great answers. So if people want to see that, you can go onto our Facebook page and just scroll down a few weeks. Okay, so I found a new one, and this is something that hasn't really been spoken a lot more before in the past because it just hasn't come up. And it was a topic called Exploring Future of Food. This was a review of the latest technologies for creating alternatives to foods from animal agriculture with several organizations that are creating meat alternatives. And this was moderated by Brees Friedrich, who I want to have on the show. He is the new person who's in charge of the Good Food Institute, which is a brand new organization that was just started a few months ago to basically be sort of a conduit and serve as an organization to support different businesses and just companies who are creating different kinds of synthetic meats that may or may not use animal cells, but inherently where I hope no animals were harmed. So one of the talks was by a person from Clara Foods, and they are creating, what was it that they were creating? A new, did you go to that one?
I didn't,
Denise?
Go to that one.
Yeah, no. I'm just thinking there, what was it? I can't remember now. Anyways, Tofurky Seth Tibbett was there too. So he spoke about Tofurky. I missed that part because I had to leave early for that session. And I actually ended up just sitting next to him at lunch one day, and I went, hey, are you the Tofurky guy? So we took a selfie, of course, because, oh, come on, I just love Tofurky. And I told him, Italian sausage is my favorite. And
oh, that's my favorite, too.
Oh,
mine,
yeah,
too.
And then he told me, I think, his favorite, and I can't remember what it was.
So let's see what else. I'm wondering, really, what were the absolute highlights for both of you?
I have one answer to that. So we'll be brief here. We only have about a minute.
Right.
So as you may or may not know, there were about 1,000 dogs rescued from the Yulin Meat Festival that happened in China about a month ago, right in June, actually, that was. And I followed the story of several of these dogs. There were 4 dogs that were rescued by Wayne Sheng from DXC. And he had posted a video of these dogs had just been rescued. They were in the hotel room and he was trying to feed them peanut butter. And they were very scared and very timid. And they slowly came out for the peanut butter and grabbed it and ran right behind the bed again because they were just starting to become socialized. And I totally cried during that. Mm-hmm. I got to meet 2 of those dogs. They're at the conference. Yeah. So I took a picture of them. I've got to find it on my phone somewhere. That was just a special highlight for me. Like, you're not going to get that anywhere else. What about you, Denise?
Are you talking about non-speaker highlights or
anything,
just in general?
Yeah, just in general.
You know, I really enjoyed the session exploring barriers to veganism and how to help new vegans and what are their stumbling blocks and what to do. And that was Veganuary and Faunalytics and Tobias Leenaert from Belgium. That was a very, very interesting session and empowering because then you know what to focus on.
Yeah, so moving on, there are often post-conference demonstrations held the day after the conference ends, and this year was no exception. In addition to a DXC disruption that was held on the afternoon after the conference, in the morning, the organization Toronto Pig Save held the very first vigil ever at the Farmer John Pig Slaughterhouse in Los Angeles, actually a place called Vernon. About 100 activists, including myself and my sister, we came out to bear witness to the poor sentient souls who were to be transported by trucks to the facility to meet their gruesome deaths. This was the first time I had ever attended a vigil myself. And, you know, it was really odd because the building was really, really large and it was so weird. There were all these like happy murals of happy pigs and people and even a woman that was very much sexualized holding a pig on a leash with on a chain with attached to his nose. It was just really strange, like, to see these images and then knowing that there was like all of this gruesome death happening in there. And yeah, just you could smell the stench of death in the air. It was disgusting. We didn't see any pigs. I asked someone there why not, and she said that it was suspected that all the pigs had arrived early in the morning because the people there knew that we were going to be there. We were there really early in the morning too, but not early enough, so they were in a holding pen, it was suspected. So nonetheless, activists in LA were greatly inspired by this organized demonstration and have now just started a Los Angeles Pig Save chapter, and they plan to hold monthly pig vigils to bear witness. Their first vigil will be next week on July the 26th, and you can join their Facebook page to find out more. Now, there were many people at the event, including celebrities, and also one of the most influential people in the animal rights movement at all was there. His name is Sean Monson. He is the filmmaker of the groundbreaking film Earthlings and last year's Unity. I took the opportunity to ask him about why he was at the Pig Save vigil and also to tell us about the 10-part documentary series that he's planning to make based on the content in Earthlings. Here's our short interview, and I apologize in advance for all the background noise. It was really noisy there, but you're still able to hear what he says. This is Sean Monson. He is the filmmaker of Earthlings and Unity, and we're at the Pig Vigil here today at Farmer John's near LA. What brings you here today, Sean?
To bear witness. Bear witness of, I don't eat animals, and most people who do eat animals don't want to see their food before it's food, which is really weird. If you bought a new camera, for instance, because I'm here shooting, you might want to know all about
it,
how it works and how to make it run optimally.
Right, let's see.
And you think that the people who do eat animals and put food in their body will want to know more about what they're putting in. Even when you take your car to the gas station and you pull up, there's 3 different types of quality of fuel. You know, you want to pick the best fuel. But people don't want to know about their food. They don't want to know about their food. So you come and you bear witness to this and you see it. This is the animals going in to be slaughtered. They're killed within the hour or so of arriving here. You're sharing the same space. It's extremely powerful. It's not violent in terms of blood and guts, so people that are squeamish about that, you can't recreate this experience without coming and bearing witness. That's why I'm here.
Yeah, that's why I came too. Can you just tell us a little bit about the 10-part documentary you have coming up? It's going to be similar to Earthlings.
Well, we've pitched it. We haven't started it yet. We're looking for where we take it to, and it would be just like Earthlings was, but instead of a feature-length film, it would be a 10-part miniseries. So each one episode about pets, one episode about food, one episode about clothing, entertainment, medical research, sanctuaries, food technology, the environment, wildlife. So it's an episode that a documentary series broken into episodes. So if you as an activist were talking to somebody and fur came up and said, you know what, you should watch episode 5. It has everything you want to know about that. Or if it's about the environment, you got to watch episode 3. So it's also geared to, as a teaching tool. So hopefully we'll find a home for it and get it started.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for coming here today, Sean.
No problem. Happy to be here.
So that was Sean Monson, and that was actually a film that I filmed on my video camera. You can actually see that on our Facebook page tomorrow. I'll be posting it at Animal Voices Vancouver if you want to see the visual depiction of it. And also you can watch it on YouTube, and it's on our website at animalvoices.org. And now we have some news.
The Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation made history as it announced that it's awarding a total of $15.6 million in grants to animal welfare and environmental causes. The grants will be split among various types of organizations, including those involved in wildlife and habitat conservation, ocean conservation, indigenous rights protection, technology, and innovative solutions for climate change. And this brings the total contribution of the foundation to a total of $59 million in support of such projects since 1998. And in other news, well, SeaWorld has been shamed as the number one worst aquarium. On July 20th of this year, International Animal Protection Organization in Defense of Animals released its list of the 10 worst tanks for dolphins and whales in North America, with the number one spot, as I've just mentioned, going to SeaWorld as, quote, the most disappointing. Now, the list was selected from over 60 facilities from southern Canada to Mexico, where almost 1,000 whales and dolphins are held captive for public display. The 10 worst tanks list was produced over the past year by multiple cetacean experts and scientists to represent the myriad horrors faced by cetaceans in captivity. Facilities were examined and investigated in person through review of government records, veterinary records, and death reports, and via image and data documentation. Our very own Vancouver Aquarium comes in at number 9.
Well, thanks for mentioning that. It's not well known, but as we learned in the documentary Vancouver Aquarium Uncovered, the Vancouver Aquarium is the supplier of SeaWorld's belugas. In fact, they put one of their belugas on a plane approximately 5 times to be manually stimulated for breeding purposes at SeaWorld. These animals truly are treated like commodities, and they have a 90% infant death rate, so I don't think that the breeding program is even defensible by science.
A federal appeals court ruled last Friday that the U.S. Navy was wrongly allowed to use sonar in the nation's oceans that could harm whales and other marine life. A lower court decision was reversed that had upheld approval granted in 2012 for the Navy to use low-frequency sonar for training, testing, and routine operations. That decision had resulted in a meaningful proportion of the world's marine mammal habitat being underprotected, according to the decision. Sonar, used to detect submarines, can injure whales, seals, dolphins, and walruses, and disrupt their feeding and mating. In other news, an undercover investigator for animal rights group Mercy for Animals has released graphic video footage showing horrific cruelty to chickens, allegedly taken at one of Canada's largest egg producers, Grey Ridge Egg Farm Facility in Liztel, Ontario.
In addition to seeing birds with bleeding prolapses, extreme feather loss, and other serious afflictions, all of these birds denied proper veterinary care, the investigator alleged that many of the hens would get their legs trapped in the sides of the cages, unable to reach food or water, and would be trampled by the other hens. You would see the dead, rotting birds decomposed beyond recognition, just left in cages with hens still laying eggs that all go for human consumption. More hours were spent by the investigator cleaning corpses out of battery cages than anything else. Mercy for Animals managing director Krista Hedema says that hens confined to cages, that is 90% of egg-laying hens in Canada, are some of the most abused animals in the food industry because they literally never have the opportunity to stretch their wings. Mike Walsh, vice president of marketing for Grey Ridge Egg Farms, disputed the animal group's video being filmed at his company.
And don't they always do that, too? It doesn't happen here. It doesn't happen in Canada. I don't. What did you say they said, Caroline? I don't recognize that cage. It's not ours.
Yeah, that the cage was unidentifiable as being theirs.
Well, thank you for the news there. You are listening to Animal Voices on 100.5 FM, CFRO Radio in Vancouver, Canada. So with over 100 presenters at this year's Animal Rights National Conference, there were too many memorable talks and presentations to speak of. We only have very limited time here, so I would like to bring to you just a few of the audio highlights of the four-day event. So I do have a few clips to play from a few of my very favorite speakers at the conference. To start, I really enjoyed animal rights philosopher Lisa Kemmerer's talk on the Thursday evening plenary session, in which she makes an engaging case for animal rights by telling a fictional but very plausible story of a conversation with a non-animal rights friend. It was really, really relatable. We've all been there before, where we might get into a conversation with someone all about our ethics, where we're asked questions such as, but what about the carrots? And where do you get your protein? And what about human rights, which is what she gets into there. So in this short clip, she speaks about utilitarian ethics, about the system of oppression that lies behind all oppressions. And she speaks about social contract theory and addresses the so-called existence of animal terrorists. Here's the clip.
Anyone who cares about people needs to go vegan. You can't. That's the only way to feed people. Stop feeding all of our grain to cattle, to quit destroying our environment with animal agriculture. So anytime you bring an argument like this, you're arguing the greatest good for the greatest number. You're saying, well, if we do this, we can feed more people, we can protect our earth, and you're using utilitarian ethics. This is by a guy named Bentham and Mill, and it's about 200 years old, and he has given us the famous quote, the question is not can they reason, nor can they talk, but can they suffer? Very famous quote that most of us know. And he had the idea that you ethics is choosing the action that brings about the greatest good for the greatest number. So anytime we say things like, how can it possibly be okay for us to kill billions of animals simply because we like the taste or we have a habit? That's weighing the suffering against the pleasures and the numbers, and that's utilitarian ethics. And it's probably the one that we use the most, along with rights theory. But the person you're eating lunch with is not satisfied. He says, well, really, if you're concerned about humans, shouldn't you just be fighting racism and poverty? And you say, you're actually very sophisticated vegan, you've been to many of these animal rights conferences, and you say, I am. It's all connected. So if I'm fighting one, I'm fighting them all. And at that point, you've drawn on ecofeminist theory. What you've done is you've recognized that there's a system of oppression that lies behind all oppressions, and that there is a dualistic way of thinking, and that those who are denigrated are oppressed, and it isn't just the animals, it's racism, it's classism, it's heterosexism, it's speciesism, and they're all connected. So he's run out of things to pick on in your stir fry. So he goes on to say, well, you know, those animal rights terrorists, you know, they obviously don't care about life. They're obviously not moral. And you say there are no animal rights terrorists because, by definition, a terrorist is someone who randomly targets civilians. and no animal rights activist has ever done that and probably will never do that. So you then say, not only that, but what the animal activists are doing is speaking up for the disempowered. And when you do that, even if you go against the rules of the land, you're doing what's right. And in saying that, you're drawing on social contract theory. And this is a theory that's about 400 years old by a guy named Hobbes. And he said that ethics is about making rules so that we can live together peacefully, so that we can live harmoniously. But, he said, if those in power break the rules, then you are also entitled to break the rules. So, as activists, just remember that maybe you don't know a lot about philosophy in book learning, but you probably do, and you use it all the time. And so let's hear it for philosophy.
So that was Lisa Kemmerer. I just love her. And Denise, I know you do too, right? Like, didn't you just love that talk?
That was great. Yeah, it's nice to know what to attribute your arguments to.
Yeah, and she just is such a good storyteller. It was just like, as I said before, it was like really relatable. So another incredibly inspiring talk was given by the former SHAC member and now vice president of the Begum Freedom Project. His name is Kevin Jonas, and he gave a speech entitled A Call for Action, and that's exactly what it was. It was a call for us to take action. So in this clip that I'm going to play, he speaks about how his five-year imprisonment pales in comparison to the animal victims held captive at the hands of humans. He tells us a very touching story about his beagle junior who was rescued from a research laboratory, and he fiercely urges us to take action to fight for the animals.
It pales in comparison to the real reasons, the real issues, the real horrors that bring every one of us here tonight. And I'm not going to try to pretend or imagine that simply because we sat in a prison cubicle for a few years, that therefore we somehow know what it's like to be a victim in a factory farm or a laboratory or a cement tank at school. I don't. None of us do. What these animals endure are beyond my worst nightmares. And I know I need not usher forth vivid descriptions of torture, despair, despondency, stress, and literal heartbreak to paint that picture. And that's really the reason we're all here. So 5 years ago, when I got out of prison, I was on probation, I was taken to house arrest, I started my own journey of recovery again. But this time I did so with my beagle, Junior. He had just been rescued from an animal testing laboratory. And ironically enough, he spent 4 years and 7 months at a laboratory prison. He came to me as a scared, confused, and frightened and fragile little survivor of real abuse. And his body bore the marks. His scars or incisions were made, notches in his floppy ears that are missing. A psyche that learned an outstretched human hand means one thing and one thing only. Pain. It means violence. Yet through Junior, I watched as that first night he cautiously jumped into our bed, his bed, for the first time. And he decided, bravely enough, that he was going to try again with our species. He snuggled up to me that night, and he has every night since. And through Junior, I learned what survival looks like. I learned what it means to be resilient. I didn't like my own wounds, my own imagined wounds, mostly my ego, to having a nice little pity party. But a reflection of Junior's survival and his perseverance, I regained that proper sense of perspective, and I found my inspiration again. If Junior wasn't going to be defeated by animal testing, why the hell would I? And so in 2012, with Junior at my side, I found my voice and I found my purpose, and I joined the team that saved his life, the Beagle Freedom Project. I'm not going to be defeated or be made permanently afraid because of my past. And just like 15 years ago when I stood before you and I gave you a speech free of fear, without regard to consequences, I do it again tonight because I know what those consequences are. I survived them, and so can you. Now, if I can stare down the barrel of a federal prison sentence and come out the other side with my friend Lauren, and we can still stand up at a podium here and speak loudly and speak proudly, I know everybody in this room can as well. We cannot let the fear of unknown consequences become our own prison of inactivity. This isn't called an easy, it's called a struggle. This is a social justice movement. What we are advocating for is the greatest change in cultural, social, culinary, financial, and political history. There are going to be consequences. A price will have to be made. It's no different for us than it was for those movements that came before us that demanded civil rights, voting rights, equal pay, the right not to be bound into slavery, the right to simply exist. Those activists, they went to jail. They got sued. They got called names. You have the truth on your side. You need to use them. And set that bar high. Don't settle and don't be satisfied. Because for me, there shall be no humane vivisection. There is no such thing as happy fucking meat and no cement.
I forgot to say there was a bad word at the end, but I think it was really warranted. I mean, wasn't that just so powerful?
It was so powerful. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I have chills.
Yeah, exactly. And I'd love to have him on the show one day too. Like, that was just really one of my top speeches. Lisa Kemmerer, Melanie Joy, Colleen Patrick Goudreau were some of my favorites. Oh, you would have liked this, Caroline. I went to a session that was, I think it was new this year. I haven't gone to actually these three speakers before. It was called The Power of Documentaries. And that's where
I saw that.
Yeah, there were three documentary filmmakers there, Cowspiracy, Earthlings, and Speciesism filmmakers. And it was fantastic. I actually filmed the one, the talk that Sean Monson gave, Earthlings, in that room. And I'm going to upload it on YouTube so you'll be able to see that. So, yeah, fantastic.
Allison, did you go to see the screening of Racing Extinction?
No, because I was too tired. And Denise tried to, but...
It was delayed, and yeah, I was tired too, so I left.
Yeah,
oh, that's a great film. Everybody check that one out. That's
it's
a really great
definitely
film.
Definitely on my list, definitely, because of you. So that's another great thing about the conference is that they always do film screenings, except that one, I don't know if they started it late. You know, these days go really long for us, right? Like, everything starts. Oh, I forgot to mention, there's the morning workouts. Did you do those, Denise?
I did not. Your sister did, though, right?
She did her own workouts. Oh. I was lazy. I didn't do one workout at all in 11 days. That's why I gained 9 pounds.
You ran a marathon before you went.
I did. I had run a half marathon like a week before or something, but I'm back at it now. But yeah, I mean, you go early in the morning if you're doing your morning workouts that are organized, and then you're running and taking a shower, and then you're going to the free breakfast, and you're doing the morning plenary, and then sessions all throughout the day.
It's a really
exhibitor tables all day. My sister swears she's going to go look at all the exhibitor tables first next time, no matter what, because it takes so long to go through them. And then, like, you end up missing out because you always want to go to sessions. There just isn't enough time, which is why I kind of feel compelled to go every year. So that's just what I want to say. I want to just quickly make an address that, you know, I want to do balanced reporting here. We don't have much time to talk about this, but there were criticisms about the conference. One of the criticisms is that it wasn't diverse enough and it was too white. What do you think of those criticisms, Denise?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was put out in the open by, was it David Carter who gave a talk?
Yeah, the 300-pound vegan ex-NFL player.
Right.
Yeah.
Gave a talk about that. That was pretty clear to see.
There was not much diversity there.
Yeah, and I just wonder what can be done. I think the organizers are aware of that. I applaud them for all the hard work they do, and I do feel that they do make improvements every year. And I just think it's room for improvement. It does get better and better every year. And thank you to people for pointing out those things. But I still, you know, I support all the work that they do, and it was a great experience. And will you all be there next year after this?
You have sold me on that. Absolutely, I'll be there.
I'll see you there. Caroline, you said you're coming,
right? It's going to be in Washington next year.
Washington, D.C. Right. So the dates are August 3rd to 6th next year in 2017. You can check out updates at arconference.org.
You've been listening to Animal Voices on 100.5 FM CFRO Co-op Radio in Vancouver, Canada. Please join us on our show next Friday, July 29th. It will be our annual Pride show. We here at Animal Voices want to connect with you online. Animalvoices.org is where you can stream shows or download the shows as podcasts, read our show blog with detailed links, and subscribe via iTunes. Stay in touch with us via our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver, and join us on Twitter at Animal Voices YVR. You can also send us your suggestions and comments about the show either on Facebook or via email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. We're closing the show now with a song played by the closing ceremony of the AR conference this year. It's called Rise Up, and we dedicate it to all those who want to make a difference in the world for the animals. Stay tuned for Radio Eco Shock with Alex Smith. Thank you so much for listening to Animal Voices today, and remember to be kind to animals.
From the land to the sea, from the mountain to the shore, we hear your voice. In your pain, in your need, in defense, we are here to lead you forth. For the moments we love are the moments we share forevermore. Our spirit relived, ever yours. Rise up and heal them. Rise up and care for them. Rise up to the love in our hearts. Rise up for the animals. Make this moment last. Life, we are one. Paws, hands, and hearts, hooves, feathers, wings. Nothing is lost if only we unite. Our song begins. For the reasons are pure if our kindness is sown in the wind. This moment shall grow, and onwards we go, and we begin. Rise up and heal them. Rise up and care for them. Rise up to the love in our hearts. Rise up for the animals. Rise up and heal.